I'm still kind of new at this, and one of the young people asked me right before the service what the topic was this morning, and I told them, and they said, well, we better go on to Sunday school class. So I guess I learned a lesson not to tell them the topic beforehand, but I hope y'all won't be wanting to go out this morning. The topic this morning that I got a challenge from, I do the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Rockingham County High School, and we get these devotionals about every day, and they give you these challenges, and this challenge that I got a few weeks ago was about getting alone with the Lord, praying and looking through Scripture and finding not one book or not one chapter or not one verse but one word to focus on for the next year. And I was thinking about that, and I like things when they get simpler, so that appealed to me, is if I could maybe narrow something down to one word and focus on that, maybe I could remember it for the whole year. So the topic, and it was amazing when you have something on your mind like that. In the Lord's Supper, in our worship this morning, I saw it over and over. And then as we sang this number 19 in the red hymnal, I'll just read it. And this is, if some of y'all lose me, this is basically preaching the whole sermon, this last verse. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself in service with sweet manna all around. So today's topic is the one word of love. And I think the young person that was asking that was thinking about maybe the love of a boyfriend and a girlfriend. So that's maybe a blessing to the parents' heart that they're not ready for that. They got a few years for that. But I'm looking at actually a different aspect today of the word love. The one I'm going to be looking at, or the ones I'm going to be looking at today, number one is our love to God. Number two, our love to our neighbors. Number three, our love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number four, love to our enemies. And number five, to try to love as Christ and God the Father loved us. And then just a few closing things. Okay, if you will start, we're going to start with loving God in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I've got a lot of verses here, and I don't expect you to be able to keep up because I'm going to be turning around. But this is basically, I think, the number one. If we can get this figured out, everything else will fall into God's plan if we can do this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So the verse that I'm focusing on is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that's the first and greatest commandment, as we'll see in the New Testament, that if we can love God with all our soul, all our heart, all our might, and all our strength, basically our whole self, just loving the Lord. That's our first main objective, is to have that love pouring out. And I like the verses that follow, because it's talking about the law, of course, the Ten Commandments, and the law that was given to Israel, that we should teach them to our children. It was even saying, and they went on to do this, I think this was more figurative language, put a sign upon their head, there'll be frontlets between their eyes, and write them on the post of their house and on their gates. But it's a constant reminder to the law, and here we know that the law is summed up in loving God with all our soul, heart, and might. And I was thinking about this on what that challenge that I got is focusing on love. This whole year, focusing on love, and that if I can have that when I wake up in the morning, think about loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind. During the day, think about loving God with all my heart. And then when I go to sleep at night, think about loving God. If I can just saturate my mind and my heart in loving God, on what a difference that would make in my life. Another thing that I heard, some of y'all may know him as an author, Gary, I think it's Gary Smalley, The Five Love Languages. And what he has done is he went a little further than this guy with one word. He memorized seven verses that pertain to seven aspects of his life, and he put them to memory and said them daily. And what that did, he said, for his marriage is just double the love that he had for his wife. He just, one of his aspects evidently was loving his wife as Christ loved the church, and he just meditated on that each day, and he just saw that love for his wife grow and grow. So I think one principle here, we know that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. If we can focus on that, not just say it, but let it sink into our hearts. Okay, if you can turn over to the New Testament, Matthew 22, Matthew chapter 22. And this is showing that it's how Christ had used this, and he quoted a lot of times God's word when people were asking him questions. He answered with scripture. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So we see here that in a way I think Jesus is simplifying things for them there. They said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he tells them to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind. So we see from our Savior's own words here that how important love is, our love for God. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, and like I said, if you can't keep up, you can just listen to these. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So here we see one way that we can show our love for God is to do what he says. And we've talked about this before when I did talking about children, is that one way that our children, or we as children, show our love for our parents and honor them is to do what they tell us to do, to honor them by obedience. And that's what we should do to the Lord. That's the way we can show our love, is by obeying his commandments. Then moving on to John chapter 21, John chapter 21, verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time," this is Jesus asking him, "Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto them the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And we know this is a story of when Peter had denied Christ three times. And I think that Jesus was trying to bring him back in, showing love, showing grace to him. And he was asking him if he loved him. And the word that he used, that Jesus used the first two times, was agape. It means a wholehearted love. And I guess Peter, normally he's bold and out front, said he would never leave or forsake Christ, and he knew that he had did that. He was humbled. He came back with the word for love, for filio, which means he was fond of him. He probably had people around and thinking, "Well, you just betrayed him, denied him. not betrayed him, but denied him. And now, how are you going to answer? So he said, well, I'm fond of you. The second time he said, I'm fond of you. And then the last time Jesus changed his word to filio and just asked, are you fond of me? Do you have at least that type of love for him? So what made me, what I started thinking of is this, is Jesus asking me by my commitment or the way I'm living my life, would he ask me, Todd, do you love me? Agape, Todd, are you fond of me? What type of love do I have for Christ? And that challenged me to want to have a deeper love for Christ and have a wholehearted, sold-out type of love that he deserves. We have two wonderful promises if we have our love for God. Two wonderful promises we have. One is in Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I thought about this, and first, my mind, sadly, a lot of times says, well, all things work together for good. Then I think of things, well, some things, maybe as we see them on earth, are not working to good. People get sick, people die, people get cancer. But if I can get my mind thinking about spiritual things, thinking about what we have in Christ, how we have an eternal home with God the Father through Christ, his Son. What a wonderful thing. Things are going to work out good, even though maybe here on earth as we see it, maybe things don't work out all the time like we want them. We know that God's in control and he may be using that cancer, that sickness, in a way we don't understand. And we know ultimately that all things are going to work together for good to those who love God and have accepted Christ. Another promise in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We cannot imagine it. We haven't seen it. Can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. Just our minds cannot take it all in on what he has prepared for us. To us that love him and have accepted Christ. So that we see here that the love of God is the first commandment. We see here that we have some wonderful promises and we've been challenged to have a love for him, an agape, a sold out type of love. Okay, second, I want us to look at loving our neighbors. Loving our neighbors. And maybe if you'll just turn to this first verse, and then we can just go ahead. Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18. And what I'm trying to do here is just to go and show you where it's first found in the scriptures. And I found out some interesting thing here that I didn't know before. This is the most quoted Old Testament text in the New Testament. It's the most quoted Old Testament text that's in the New Testament. So that to me, as I was reading and learning these things, that to me said, well, this is a pretty good word that I picked out because God repeated it 8 times in the New Testament, so it must be very important. Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Okay, so we see here that this is where it started in the Old Testament, that he's saying not to avenge, not to bear a grudge against the children of thy people, but they shall love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. He is telling them to do this. Okay, then I'm going to move back to the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, very familiar story. Luke 10:27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and the neighbor as thyself. To preface this, man had come to Jesus and asked him the greatest commandments and about that. And Jesus had told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. We've talked about that. And the neighbor as thyself. And he said, he was asking him about how to get eternal life. And Jesus said, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay, so he's asking, well, who is my neighbor? Is it the person that lives next door to me? And I think that, we can think of that, and that's a good place to start.
All right.
The person that next door, we can show love to them. But we see in this story that it doesn't stop with someone that lives next door to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So from the context of the verses, we think this was a Jewish person. And fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, he's of the tribe of Levi, but he wasn't from the lineage of Aaron, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So these two here that passed by, they were Jewish, and they passed by one of their brethren here. But in 10:33 it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him down on his beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus said, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So we see here that Jesus kind of went out of the common thinking, or at least the thinking of this man, that it's not just your brethren as far as your countrymen, just other Jews, because we see here that the priest and the Levite, they just walked by him. They weren't a neighbor to him. But a Samaritan, and a Samaritan was like someone that was cast down. They looked down on the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't have a good relationship. The Jews thought the Samaritans were beneath them. And we see here that Jesus is getting to the man's heart and saying, well, who showed themselves to be a neighbor? He kind of turned the question around, not saying, who is my neighbor? But Jesus turned around, which one was a neighbor? So Jesus, a lot of times, will do that, ask the questions and put it back and try to reach into our heart. So I think here that Jesus is teaching us that if a Samaritan who is looked down on, is shunned, is considered unclean, was willing to be a neighbor to someone that was treating him that way, that basically we should be willing to be a neighbor to anyone. That we should treat anyone as a neighbor. Anyone in need that needs us, we have the ability to help them, then we need to be a neighbor to them to help them. Okay, then moving over to Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And this is an amazing verse right here. Paul's writing here. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was seeing here that his brethren were not accepting Christ. That made him very sad. And he had a heaviness of heart, and even though it wasn't possible, we know it wasn't possible, and Paul was saying that he wished that he could be outside the love of Christ for his brethren. If his brethren would accept Christ, he would be willing to be accursed from Christ. That's the type of love that he had for his brethren. And that went into my heart and thought, made me think, do I have that type of love for people that I would love them that much? I want them to know Christ that much, to be willing to make that statement. That's a scary statement, I think, to make. But that's the heart that Paul had for the people. Also over in Romans chapter 13, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. So we see from the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God with all your soul, heart, mind. The second group of six have to do with others. And we see that it's summed up. If you love your neighbor, if you love other people, you're not going to want to, of course, commit adultery with their wives. bear false witness, steal, covet, anything like that, you're not going to want to hurt them. So it's summed up. You don't have to really think about all the laws. All you have to do is remember to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be treated? You don't want somebody to steal from you, to take from you, to do evil things to you. So we should treat them the way we want to be treated. Okay, so we see here, number one, love God. Number two, love our neighbors. The third one I want to focus on is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, if you could look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. While you're turning there, I just want to say that it's a blessing to me to be at an assembly where people love the Lord, they love Christ, put Him first, and they love other people. They love the assembly here, they love the fellowship here, and I just am thankful that God has brought me and my family here. John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." So here Jesus is saying, this is getting close to when he's going to the Father. He said, "I'm only going to be with you a little while." And this is one of the commandments that he leaves them with. One of the last things he tells them is that, "I want you to love one another like I loved you. I want you to love one another." That's how people outside are going to know that you belong to me, because you're going to love one another. And you say, "Well, I thought this was an old commandment that we looked at the Old Testament." And that's true. That has been a commandment. But here he adds a little something. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." That's not new, but here's a new part. "As I have loved you." That's the new part. How has he loved us? He gave everything for us. He gave his life for us. He sacrificed all that he could give. That type of sacrificial, given wholeheartedly type of love, that's the type of love that he showed to us. And that's the way he wants us to show our love to each other. Then in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." We're taught of God in the Scriptures to love one another. "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Even though I'm thankful here for the love we have for the Lord, for Christ, I'm thankful for the love we have for one another. I believe, just like it was in Macedonia here, I don't believe that it can ever be, while we're here on earth, we're going to have a perfect type of love. So it's saying here that he was encouraging them, Paul's encouraging them here to increase that love more and more. Don't let it just stay or get stale, but increase it more and more. Love each other more and more. Don't let it say, "Well, I love them," and then that's it. Pull back, but just keep loving them. Keep loving one another. Okay, then over in Philippians chapter 2. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So we see here Jesus is, or Paul is showing here and reminding us that love that Jesus had, that we should humble ourselves. That's a way we can show love for one another, is humble ourselves, not parade or think that somebody owes us something, but humble ourselves to others. Because look at what Christ did. He had a perfect relationship with his Father in heaven, and he was willing to humble himself. So for us to not really make a step down, but just humble ourselves as a servant, is not nothing in comparison to the giant step he stepped down to love us. He made a wonderful step down for us. So could we, by thinking about how he loved us, could we make maybe a small step in being a servant, to be willing to consider others better than ourselves? And then to end up with our topic on loving brethren and sisters in Christ, 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent, it says charity here, but charity and love is synonymous. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Love shall cover a multitude of sins. This doesn't mean that love means that sin is okay. I believe what it means in this context is that when someone wrongs us, when we're hurt, our feelings are hurt, someone does something to us, if we have that type of love that Christ had for us, that we won't consider that as something that's been wronged to us, that we will have so much love for them that we'll say, well, I hate that that happened, but I'm not going to let it hurt me. I'm going to pray for them because I love them so much, but I'm not going to let it cause a strife between me and my brother. So I believe here that we can have love for one another as Christ loved us, that we should humble ourselves, be willing to esteem others better than ourselves, and love each other with such a fervent love that it covers wrongs done to us. We don't really even consider it a wrong. We just love them so much that we don't consider hurt feelings or somebody said something. We just have so much love for them that that kind of just engulfs it, and then we don't have that strife with us. Okay, now I want to move on. We've talked about loving God, loving neighbors, loving brothers. Now I want us to look at loving people on the outside, loving enemies. And it may not be enemies in the way that we see it. People on the outside are not necessarily our enemies, but ones that are not in Christ or in a sense our enemies because they're with Satan. All right, so loving enemies, people on the outside, and it also means someone that might be mean to you, really an enemy like we think of it, someone that's done you wrong, ones on the outside of the assembly. And these, I think, are the hardest for me. I've got to yield more to the Holy Spirit in order to have this type of love. It's like an unworldly type of love that we're, at least I'm not used to, that I'm praying that I'll yield more to the Spirit where I can have this type of love. I've heard of it and I've seen it, and I'm praying that I can see it more in my own life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. This was maybe the view that the Jews had at that time. And Christ is getting ready to stand that up on its head. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we're seeing here that Christ is going deeper than what maybe we think at first, loving your neighbor. He is saying, love your enemy. People that hurt you, are mean to you, talk bad about you, we've got to love them. People that And this is amazing to me, and I think I've shared this story before about the ones up in an Amish school. A man came in and killed several children, and instead of a lawsuit or something like that, the people, the parents, just gave forgiveness to him. And I think that that is an amazing type of love, to be able to forgive someone that's hurt you so bad, to be willing to just give over love. And to do that, you've got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and you've got to want God's ways more than our own ways. We can't want, well, I've been wronged, I need to make this right, I need justice now. We have to think in the spiritual realm, how can God use this to further His kingdom? Because we've been hurt. How can we use that hurt in our own life to the way we react with love can win others? They can't fight against love. The people outside, they can't fight against that. So that's the weapon that I believe Christ is wanting us to use here, is a weapon of love, because there's nothing they can do against it. They're not used to it. It throws them off, and it says, this person's different. And that may, hopefully, attract them to the Lord. And then, basically, it's a parallel passage, but it throws a few new things in. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them with hate who hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. I think that's one of the, when I first read that, it's just like my flesh just rises up against that. Someone comes up and smacks you, and then you're supposed to turn the other cheek and let them smack the other one. It's just an amazing type of love for someone to be able to do that. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid it. Forbid not to take thy coat also. Like if you have an overcoat and they want that, then take off your other jacket and give them that. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love them that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank ye have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So here we see again about smacking on one side to the other, and if someone takes from you, give them more. Don't try to snatch it back. If someone asks you for something, and I think it says lend and don't expect in return, so basically we think of it as lend, but basically it's talking about just giving it away. Don't expect it back. If you lend somebody something then and they don't give it back, then you may harbor something against them. You say, well, they said they were going to give it back, never gave it back. So, and we learned this, and Ed reminded me that about the Dave Ramsey course. When you're, don't even lend in your own family. If they need it and you have it, just give it to them. Don't lend it expecting to come back, because if they don't give it back, then that causes a conflict. So it's best just to give it to them. But here we're talking about lending to people on the outside, lending to enemies. Just give it to them. And like I confessed before, this is an amazing type of love, a love that Christ had for us. God lets the sun shine on the evil and the good. He gives rain to the evil and the good. And He's telling us, like He's doing, to show that type of love to our enemies, to give love to them. Romans 12:14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Bless them which persecute you. 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So when your enemy's hungry or thirsty, give them food, give them drink. And the Lord can use that to penetrate their heart, bring them shame and say, I shouldn't have been treating this person like this. And by showing them love instead of hate, you can attract them to the Lord, attract them to God. All right, so to sum up so far, we talked about love to God, neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ, and loving even our enemies. Okay, now what I want to kind of close with in these last few things is to look at how Christ and God the Father has loved us. Try to look at how God and Christ has loved us. Maybe that'll help us. I'm sure it will if we let it penetrate our souls and our hearts. Think daily, and not just one time, but throughout the day, how much love Christ has bestowed upon us, how much love God has bestowed upon us, and that will help us loving back to Him and to our neighbors, brothers and sisters, and our enemies. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God. Some of us, Bible translations, I think, say imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we're asked here to walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself. It's like giving an offering and a sacrifice to God. When you show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to your enemies, that is, we're being imitators of Christ in this. It's like an offering and a sacrifice to God. We're just pouring out our lives to others and loving others. That's giving an offering and a sacrifice to God. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And the way I want to think about this is God sat down when Christ went back up. Christ said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to come down. And look at the first fruit. When we are yielded to the Spirit, look at the first fruit that is mentioned here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing that's mentioned here. Is that if we're yielded to the Spirit and let Him take over in our lives, you're going to see love. And that's a confirmation that we're children of God if others see that love in us. If we see that love in ourselves, that gives us confirmation and security in that we are children of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man. So we're strengthened by the Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Listen to that again. Being rooted and grounded in love. Everything we do, that's our foundation, is love. We do it in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, the love of Christ, we're supposed to imitate it. Here it's saying that we really cannot understand all of it. It passes our knowledge. It's so great. His step was so far down to meet us that it's over our heads, the type of love that he had. But if we can just get a small percentage, just a small amount of thinking about what did Christ do for me? He sacrificed his life. He was betrayed by his Father, or he was his back was turned by his Father while he took that sin on him. Then if we can think about that, what love he has shown us, then it's not as hard to love others, to love our brothers, sisters in Christ, to love our enemies, if we think about the type of love that was shown to us. 1 John chapter 3, 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Behold, what manner of love has been bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What type of love we've been given. If we can realize and take that in, take it inside our heart and our innermost person, then I believe that love will start flowing through us even freer than it is. 1 John 4, chapter 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And here's just a very simple statement, for God is love. Love is God. If you want to, a lot of times we think of love as like, well, I really love this person. When I first saw Lisa, it was like I really loved her, but it was more of a infatuation. She was beautiful, and that type of love. This type of love that we're talking about today is a type of love that you choose, that you decide whether the person is lovable or not, if you like them or not. I'm going to love them because of what God did for me, what Christ did for me. I love them out of the love Christ had for me. It's a conscious choice from the heart that I'm going to love this person. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's the type of love we should have. God is love, and He is asking us to love one another. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love Him first. He loved us first. He didn't wait until we were lovable. We didn't have anything in us to be lovable. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Okay, that's the type of love that He showed to us. So we don't wait to love someone until they say something nice to us or they do something good for us. We love them because God loves them, because God loved us. We show that type of love to others. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the best gift that's ever been given. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that sums up. Do you think God loves you? Think about what He gave you. He gave His only begotten Son. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He wanted to save us. He wanted to love us, and He did that through sending His Son. Okay, to sum everything up, and I know a lot of you think of, when you think of love, you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read all of that. I'm going to read the last verse. We've talked about loving God, loving neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ, enemies, and the type of love that Christ and God the Father had to us. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now by the faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And I thought about that and read something about this. How is that the greatest? I thought it was interesting what they said, that hope and faith will be realized when we're with God. We won't have faith because we'll be right there with Him. Hope, we know that it's going to be true, but the hope will be done away with. We're going to be face to face with our Lord and Savior. But love is eternal. We're going to be loving Him. It will not stop when we get to heaven. It's going to be just beginning. True love for Him will keep on going forever and ever. I just want to read this hymn, if you want to turn to it, 522 in the red hymnal. To maybe just kind of sum everything up and to put our focus on the type of love that we should have is the type of love that our Savior had for us. 522, my Savior's love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. So this morning I've wanted to focus in my own heart about love. That the word, one word that I want to focus on for 2008 is loving God with all my soul, heart, and mind, strength, and loving my neighbor, loving my brothers and sisters in Christ, loving my enemies, and love it with the type of love that my Savior had for me. That's the type of love I want to have and praying to get as I yield more of myself to the Spirit. Okay, we're going to close in prayer, and I've been asked to go ahead and give thanks for the food. If you're here as a visitor, we'd love to have you to come, and I'm sure there's always enough, and come and enjoy the food with us after the service. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the love you showed us by sending your Son to die for us. Behold, what manner of love has been showered down and bestowed upon us that we could be called the children of God. Thank you for him. Help us to have that same type of love to others, to love you and to love others. I pray that you'll help us to yield to your Holy Spirit, because this love is not of this world. This love is from above. Help us to have that type of love for each other. We thank you now for the food that's been prepared. We thank you for the ones that took their time and the love to prepare it for each of us. We pray that it will nourish our bodies and you'll bless our fellowship. In Christ's name, amen.